chapter 1, verse 8. We've been talking since the first of the year, stirring us up, stirring you up, stirring all of us. See, I was thinking about this yesterday. I get to hear the message twice. See, the Holy Spirit preaches it to me when I'm preparing. And then I get to hear it again when I preach it to you. Why is that? Because I need it probably twice as much as you do. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. It's all right to say amen if you want to on that. So, just not a vigorous amen. Yes, amen, Pastor. You need it more than we do. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. That's all right. I don't mind admitting that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, this is the book of Joshua. It's chapter 1, it's verse 8. The book of Joshua begins with this statement: "After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua." And so this is the Lord speaking to Joshua here. In the first 6-7 verses on in through verse 9, the Lord is speaking to Joshua. Joshua has taken command of the people of Israel, the children of Israel. He is their leader now. And so God has spoken to him, and God is telling him what he needs to do in order to be successful. And I want you to notice, God himself points Joshua to the written word. What we have is the first five books of the Bible. That's what he was talking about. When he said this book of the law, this was hot off the press. Moses just had finished writing it. It just had been published. Joshua had an Amazon Prime account, so he was able to get free 2-day shipping. And he pre-ordered it. So on the day that it was released, his copy came in the mail, and he had it. This book of the law, a.k.a. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All right? That's what he had. That's what God was talking about. And so notice, God is speaking, but God says, "Now look, I'm not going to talk to you directly all the time, but here's what's going to put you over. Here's what's going to give you good success. I'm not going to appear to you face to face and speak to you all the time like this, but you've got something that I've inspired. It's what Moses, my servant, wrote down, and it's my word." Hallelujah. And he told him what to do. He said, "Don't let it depart out of your mouth." In other words, keep it in your mouth. He said, this word of God, this written word, you need to put it in your mouth and you need to keep it in your mouth. Now, he didn't mean to take it literally and chew on the pages, or I don't know how it was written down, how Moses had written it out. But he didn't say, chew it like that. He meant to keep it, to speak it. Keep it in your mouth. And then he said, meditate in it day and night. Means to think about it, but meditate also involves speaking, because meditate literally means to mutter to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? You ever been accused of talking to yourself? Well, it's all right as long as you're saying the right thing. Amen. You're not crazy. You're being scriptural. Praise God. Meditate in it day and night. The result is going to be this. He says, keep it in your mouth, meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do. Notice that. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. All right? So observing to do means that you'll see. Observe means to see, doesn't it? So when you meditate in it, when you keep it in your mouth, all of a sudden you'll see, hey, this is what I need to do. And this is how I need to do it. That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. He says, for then you will make your way prosperous. Why? Because you're doing what God said. Because you're acting on what God said. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Amen. He didn't say you'll pray to me and I'll make your way prosperous. That's right to pray. But he said, if you'll meditate in this word, if you'll keep it in your mouth and then you'll do it, he said, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Amen. Amen. Now, that's very similar what God told Joshua is very similar to what we see written, spoken and written in Proverbs chapter 4 that we looked at last week. We kind of ended up the message last week with this. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words." Look at this. "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes." Pointed out last week, that means also don't lose sight of them. Don't lose sight of the word. "Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Very similar to what God told Joshua. And also very similar to what Peter wrote. This is in the Weymouth translation. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 that we've looked at a couple of weeks ago and at the start of this series at the beginning of the year. And in the written word of prophecy, this is 2 Peter 1:19 in the Weymouth translation. "And in the written word of prophecy, we have something more permanent to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dimly lighted place." So the written word of prophecy, or the written word of God, we could say, we have something more permanent. Peter's referring to the experience he had on the mountain with Jesus, where Moses and Elijah appeared. Peter, James, and John were there. Peter said, yeah, it was an amazing experience, but we got something more permanent. Thank God for visions and dreams and revelations and experiences. We believe in all of that. Amen. But we've got something more permanent. Yes. It's the written word of God. Amen. Amen. He said, pay attention to this written word of God as to a lamp shining in a dimly lighted place. And I used the illustration, what if you were in a cave? You're in a dark cave. And all of a sudden you see, you're lost in that cave and you see a light. Are you going to pay attention to that light? I would say so. You're going to keep your focus on that light. Peter said that's the way we need to stay focused on the written word of God. That intently. That intently. Amen. And just like God told Joshua, meditate on this book of the law day and night. Keep it in your mouth. Amen. Praise God. And so we've been talking about the importance then of hearing the word of God, but we shouldn't stop with just hearing the word. Amen? There are three applications I want to talk to you about this morning that will release the power of God's word in your life and in your situation. Praise God. I got to thinking about, right before I came out for the service, I was just going over these notes again, keep stirring the pot here, just keep this message simmering and cooking. Amen. It cooks all the way till we start delivering it here. So, amen. And I was just looking over it, and I thought about that releasing the power of the word. And I thought about nuclear physics and about, I don't understand much about that. Brother Carl came in the office and I started to ask him, explain to me nuclear physics and how you can take, you know, you can take a hydrogen atom and split it and level a city, you know. How does that happen? I don't understand that. But we can release a positive power, not a destructive power, but a creative power. Amen. The power of the Word of God by applying it in our lives. It's not enough just to hear it. There are three applications that we need to make that will release this power. Anybody interested in finding out about it? The three applications of this. Number one, we've already referred to it. Number one, speak the word. Number two, pray the word. Number three, do the word. Everybody got that? Speak the word, pray the word, do the word. Okay, you can go home now. Don't leave. We're going to expound on these. Amen. Number one, speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. God created the entire physical universe. How? By speaking His words, didn't He? I looked at it. I went back and looked at it yesterday as I was studying. 10 times, you'll find this. "Then God said." I think that's 8, and 8 times there in Genesis chapter 1. "Then God said," and then 2 other times, "And God blessed them, saying." So 10 times God spoke. God released His power through words. They're speaking His word. He created the entire physical universe by speaking words. "Then God said, and it was so." Isn't that right? Amen. And I noticed this the other day as I was back at the beginning of the year when I started reading through the Bible again. God said it, and then it says, and it was good. Yeah. It was good. Everything God says is good. Amen. Amen. Pray, you can count on that. Glory to God. Yeah. Jesus successfully, we looked at this last week, Jesus successfully resisted and overcame Satan. How? By speaking God's word. Every time Satan came at him with a temptation, Jesus said, it is written. He didn't use anything that we don't have. In fact, in most of that, he was using that book of the law, the first five books. When he talked about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's in Deuteronomy. And worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's there in the first five books as well. Amen. So he overcame Satan. He resisted temptation by speaking God's word, by saying out of his mouth, it is written. And so God tells Joshua, keep the word in your mouth. If you want to be successful, if you want to have good success, if you want to make your way prosperous, then keep the word of God in your mouth. Speak the word of God. Keep it in your mouth. Amen? It's not enough just to hear the word. Thank God you're here today. Thank God you're here hearing the Word of God. Thank God you're going to open up your Bible and read the Word of God. But it's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough. So many times we stop right there and we think, well, I don't know. I don't understand why things aren't working out for me. I mean, I heard that sermon. I've been listening to this message on CD. It's not enough just to hear it. That's step one. You got to do that. But then we got to release the power of the Word. Number one, by speaking it. By speaking it. I love this scripture, this passage here, and the principle that it communicates. Look at it with me. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. I shared this a couple of Wednesdays ago. Last time I spoke on Wednesday night, from Isaiah 59, the Lord said, my spirit that is upon you and my words that I put in your mouth. And I use this scripture in that message. So if you were here, you're going to hear this again, but most of you were not, and so you get to hear it today. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said. Who is he himself talking about there? God. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has said that. So we may boldly say, now what he said is good, But the point I want you to see is this that we're about to get to. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Notice this now. Because he himself has said, so we may boldly say. Here's the principle. Because God has said something, now I can say something. Amen. Did you get that? Because he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And that's actually a scripture too. The writer of Hebrews is quoting the Psalms, quoting David in the Psalms when he said, the Lord is my helper, I'll not fear. What can man do to me? So that's scripture that he's quoting. But the principle is this, because God has said something, now I can say something. Amen. And not only can I say something, he says, so we may boldly say. Hallelujah. Everybody say boldly. Boldly. It's important that you learn to speak the word of God boldly. Amen. It's important to declare it boldly. It didn't have to be necessarily have to be at a certain decibel level, but it does have to be boldly. It does have to be with authority. Amen. The devil responds to authority. The devil will try to usurp authority. The devil will try to bully his way around. But when you stand up and you say, no, you don't. This is what the Word of God says. And you speak God's Word and you do it with authority. He has to let go. He has to back off. Amen. He has to respond to that authority. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Because God has said something, now I can boldly say something. Amen. So find out what God says about your situation. It's in there. Whatever situation you're facing, the Word of God has an answer for it. Find out what God says about your situation and say, because the Lord has said something about my situation, now I can boldly say and begin to boldly say based on what God has said. That's keeping His Word in your mouth. That's putting His Word in your mouth and keeping it in your mouth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, Paul writes and he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. That is our offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, in the Greek, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema. Rhema means the spoken word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit to defeat the enemy. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. At the beginning of this passage earlier, a few verses earlier, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So we need to stay aware of that. We don't want to just be devil conscious that everything's a devil, but we do need to understand there are dark forces, there are demonic forces, satanic forces that are trying to hinder us. It's not just natural. It's not just that person. There are demons behind stuff. Trying to hinder you, trying to stop you, trying to stop the plan of God. Amen. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And then he begins to talk about the armor of God. And we don't have time to talk about all of it today, but he says, take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the spoken word, the spoken word. That means it's coming out of your mouth. Amen. Now, it's called the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will inspire you. He will help you. See, we call ourselves a church of the Word and the Spirit. There's a reason for that. It's not just a catchy title. It's not just a slogan. We mean that. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean that we believe the Word of God. We want to live by the Word of God. But it also means that we understand that we're dependent upon, like we sang this morning, Holy Spirit, we're dependent on You. You're welcome in this place. And we depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us. We depend on the Holy Spirit to inspire us. And the Holy Spirit will give you scriptures that you need to say. He will help you. You say, well, what do I say in this situation? If you listen to the Holy Spirit and depend on Him, He'll help you. He'll give you. Oh, I don't know how many times in my life the Holy Spirit has given me scriptures. The Bible says He will remind you of the things that I said to you. That's what Jesus said. And He'll show you things to come. Glory to God. He'll bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And He'll bring a scripture up and He'll remind you of a scripture. He'll remind you of something. Well, take that and wield that sword of the Spirit. Speak it out your mouth. Amen? Praise God. Notice He says, take it. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It belongs to us. It's been given to us, but we have to take it up. We have to do it. Amen? We have to use it. Glory to God. Then He says in the next verse, in verse 18, He says, praying. That'll get us to our next point then. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he says, take that sword of the Spirit and we can speak the Word of God over situations. We can speak the Word of God in our lives. We can speak the Word of God to overcome the powers of darkness and the activity of Satan coming against us. But we can also pray the Word of God. Faith will work, Dad Hagin taught us so powerfully. Faith will work by saying, and faith will also work by praying. Amen. But it's the Word of God that's the basis for both of them. In Mark 11, Jesus, in verse 23, He says, whosoever shall say, not doubt in his heart, but believe the things which he says will come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. Then verse 24, he talks about praying. He says, therefore I say to you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. And so we need both the saying part to understand that, saying the Word, speaking the Word, but also praying the Word of God. Amen. Amen. When you speak the Word, you're not addressing it to God necessarily. A lot of times you're addressing it to the devil. Satan, take your hands off my life. Because the Word of God says, it is written. That's not a prayer. You're addressing the devil. You're using the Word to defeat the devil. But then also we take the Word of God in prayer and we bring that to the Father in prayer. He likes that. He likes that. Just not too long ago, I was praying and talking to the Lord, and I used an example. I can't remember the exact example, but something that Jesus had done on the earth in his ministry. And I said, Lord, I remind you of what you did. And it just was so, I didn't hear it audibly, but it's so clear in my heart. He said, I like it when you remind me of what I did when I was on the earth. Wow. And he likes it when we take his word and bring it back to him. He said in the book of Isaiah, he said, put me in remembrance. Not that he forgets. Oh, did I say that? I don't remember saying, well, I guess I'll have to do it. If I said it, then I don't remember. It's not like that. For our sake. He's waiting to do it. He's wanting to do it. He's just waiting for an invitation. When we pray, we're giving him an invitation. And when we say, Father, you said, he says, absolutely, I did. Here I come. Amen. This is a great revelation that came to me when I was a young man. I got filled with the Holy Spirit right at the end of my senior year in high school. I'd been saved. I grew up in church, and I got saved when I was a boy, but I wasn't really taught the Word of God. Got filled with the Holy Spirit at the end of my senior year in high school, and things really began to radically change in my life when that happened. And shortly after that, I started hanging around with folks that were into the message of faith, and ran into some people that Earl and Jan Duncan. Earl ended up, he was the minister that performed our wedding when Rob and I got married. But they had come and started a Bible study. And Earl's wife, Jan, was associated with a lady named Jermaine Copeland. Now, Jermaine Copeland's world famous today. But there's just a little group of ladies back in that time, 1979, when we started getting into all this in 1979, they met and they prayed, and they started praying the Word of God. The Holy Spirit led them to just write out prayers for their family, you know, for their wayward children and for their family and for their financial situations and different things they were dealing with and going through. And they would find scriptures. And they'd say, and they would assemble those scriptures and write them down, and they'd make a prayer out of that. And they'd say, Father, you said in your word. And they'd have, each prayer would have five or six or seven or eight scripture references in it. Praise God. And I got a hold. Now, those books, there's been millions of copies of a book. The book became, these prayers were put into book form and were titled as Prayers That Avail Much in the early 1980s. And now there's, I don't know how many different versions, and millions of copies have been sold all around the world. First one I had was put together with that plastic comb binding. Homemade, you know, published it themselves. Harrison House picked it up later and the millions of copies were published. But anyway, that was a great revelation that came to me that I could pray the Word of God. And that was the most effective way to pray. I mean, if I'm bringing God's Word back to Him, surely that's a prayer that He will answer. And it absolutely is. Amen. Jesus said this about it, John 15, verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, notice this, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That sounds like success right there in prayer, doesn't it? Ask what you desire, and it shall be done. For there's a lot we could say about that, but we just don't have time this morning. But I want to point a few things out. So number one, he says, abide in Jesus. That means be in relationship with Him and be in fellowship with Him. Right? Do we know what that means? Have a relationship with Him, be saved, and then be living in fellowship with Him. What does that mean? Well, that's talking about in 1 John. If we have any, in 1 John 1 and 2, if we have any sin in our life, confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So we're living in fellowship with Him. It says if we walk in the light of His Word, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And so we're living in relationship and fellowship with Him. We're abiding in Him. And then the second thing He says, and my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. Then, He says, those two conditions, then you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Somebody said, wait a minute, Jesus, you can't turn them loose like that. You can't just let them ask what they want. Oh, yeah, He built a safeguard in there. If you're abiding in Him and if His words are abiding in you, then everything you desire is going to be in line with His will. Amen. And then you can ask what you desire. You don't have to say, Lord, if it be your will. You ask what you desire and it'll be done. Why? Because if His word's abiding in you, then your prayer is going to be in perfect harmony with His will. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. In 1 John 5, 14, He says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Everybody say confidence. That's the word similar, closely aligned with boldness. Boldness to speak, we can boldly say, and we can confidently pray. Amen? Amen. Won't you declare that? Say, I boldly say, and I confidently pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Everybody say have. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. This is an amazing scripture, and it's one of the scriptures that was in on the back of those original books, Prayers That Avail Much books. It was this scripture right here. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Somebody said, oh, I know. That means when you pray, add this little tag to the end of it. Hashtag, if it be thy will. No. No, that's not what He's talking about. You don't pray a prayer and then say, how can you have confidence? You can't have any confidence if you pray and then you say, well, you know, if it's your will, Lord. You can't have any confidence in that. Now, well, aren't we supposed to pray, Lord, if it be your will? There's a place to pray that. Yes. Jesus, when He was consecrating Himself to God, when He was about to go to the cross, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Yes, when we're talking about committing our lives to the plan of God, to the plan that He has for our lives, we ought to freely say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. He's not talking about that kind of prayer, though. He's talking about praying for things that you need, praying for things in your life that you need. That's what He's talking about here. And He says, if we ask anything according to His will, what does that mean? It means I go to His will. See, His word and His will are one. We could as easily say, if we ask anything according to His word, He hears us. And we're not changing that passage any at all. We're not changing the meaning. If we ask anything according to His word, He hears us. So what do? I go to His Word and I find out what His will is. I find out what His Word says. Amen? And I ask according to His Word. And when I do that, I know that He hears me. Amen. Well, God hears us all the time. I mean, He's God. I mean, He's omni, all that stuff. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all omni. Well, He is. And in one sense, yes, He hears everything, but He doesn't hear that in the form of a prayer. He just hears it as wah, wah, wah. No. Remember Charlie Brown? The Charlie Brown cartoons? All the adults, you never heard what the adults said. It was wah, 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 wah. Okay, thanks, Grandma. We'll be over. I'm bringing Peppermint Patty. Yep. And the teachers, and you know, the teacher in school, Charlie Brown sitting there at the desk, and the teacher, wah, 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 wah. Yes, teacher, you know. And so that's the way God hears. If we're not praying according to His will, then that prayer just goes up as wah, 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 wah. You know, that's about all God hears. Well, in Proverbs, we'll come back to 1 John 5, but in Proverbs 28:9, it says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Put that, go ahead and put that there. Thanks, Sammy. I didn't want him to think I was just making that up. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, or the word, we could say. If we turn away our ear from hearing the word, and if we don't pray according to the word, our prayer is an abomination. Well, I don't want my prayers to be an abomination, right? Do you? No. He says, ask according to his will. If we do that, what? He hears us. When we pray according to his word, he hears that prayer. And he says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have it. So if I know he hears me, then I know I have it. Wow, that's good, isn't it? The Amplified Bible says, granted as our present possessions. Granted as our present possessions. Amen. So the word gives us confidence in prayer then. So asking according to his will, that's asking according to his word, and the result's going to be good success in prayer. Amen. When we ask according to his word, we know that he hears us. And when we know he hears us, we know that we have it. Amen. If you look back throughout the scripture, at some of the prayer, a lot of prayers are written down in scripture, notably the prayer that Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple, the prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed when the enemies were coming against him, the prayer that the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4. And if you notice, and there's many others we could reference, many, many others. But if you look at them, they all start out something like this. Lord, you have said. Lord, you have said. Lord, you spoke by the mouth of your servant and you said this. They all reference that prayer, and they base that prayer on what God had already said, on his word. Amen. Well, we ought to do the same thing. Father, you have said. And I tell you that, I thank God I got that revelation as a young man, and that's the way I pray yet today. I've not moved off of that. I've not changed. I've not grown beyond that. That's the way I pray today. I pray according to the word. I find scriptures when I pray. Those of you that come to prayer school, we'll pray in the spirit, but then I'll get my Bible out. I'll be pacing back and forth, and I'll just start reading scripture. I'll say, Father, you said right here in Psalm 144, And we'll read that. Lord, you said in Psalm 33. Amen. Amen. And we'll put him in remembrance of his word. Why? We're asking according to his will. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So the third one then. So what do you need? I'll just say something about this before we go to the third one. So then find scriptures. Find scriptures and base your prayer on the word of God. When you're praying about things, find scriptures that cover that. We have back on the information table, we've got a little box back there and a little prayer request. If you have a prayer request, you can fill that out and put it in the box, and we'll pray over them. And on that form, I say, we write in there, what scriptures are you standing on? Well, we're not trying to be difficult, but we just want you to have, and we want to be able to agree with you. Okay, we're agreeing together on these scriptures, on these promises from God. Amen? Because that's how the power of God is released. We release the power of the word when we speak it. We release the power of the word when we pray it, when we pray according to the word. And then thirdly, we release the power of God's word when we do the word, or when we act on the word. Again, back in Joshua 1, let's look back at our opening text and go from there on this last point. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. The whole point of meditating in it, the whole point is to get you to a place that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, when you're doing it, after you've observed and you've begun to do it, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. Look at the book of James with me. Chapter 1, verse 21. in James chapter 1, verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So he's talking about hearing the word there. He's talking about receiving the word implant. I like that. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word. In other words, have a teachable spirit. In other words, when you approach the word of God, whether you're sitting here today listening to a message or whether you're reading the Bible or whatever, have a teachable spirit and receive and let that word be planted in you. Why? Because when it's planted in you, it's able to save your soul. So, well, Pastor, I got saved, 6 years ago. I'm saved. No, he's not talking about being born again. Your soul is that's your mind. That's your will and your emotions. He's talking about our minds being renewed with the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God does that for us. But then he says in verse 22, see, that's the hearing part. The hearing part will do that for you. But, he says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Say this, say, I am a doer of the word, not a hearer only. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if we only hear the word of God, but we don't do it, James says we have deceived ourselves. How so? Well, again, you say, well, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I mean, I came to church and I heard the message. And now Pastor was preaching about that and about how we could have victory. But now this is happening to me. Well, have you applied what you heard? Well, no, I heard it, though. Well, it's not enough to hear it. Is everybody out there? Amen. Amen. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. The Word of God, see, is a mirror. The Word of God, we talked about that last week. It can show us our flaws, yes, but it also shows us who we really are. The Word, that when you look into the Word of God, you get a picture of who you really are. You get an image of who you really are. Amen. He says, for he observes himself. This is a person that hears the word but doesn't do it. He takes a look in the mirror and then he goes away, it says. He observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So when we look into the word of God, we see the good news. We see that we have been redeemed. We see that we have been made righteous. We see that we've been given authority over the enemy. We say that we see that we've been washed in the blood, that we're a new creation, that we've been made righteous, that we've been given authority. And we get all excited, but then we walk away and we don't do that and we forget that we're that kind of man. When we're faced with situations then where we need that, where we need to know that and need to apply it, we forget it and we say, oh no, what's going to happen to me? Amen. But, verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. I like that. The Word of God here, James calls it the perfect law of liberty. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. James says the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Everybody say continues in it. And continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer. A doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he hears. No, this one will be blessed in what he does. In what he does. The blessing comes in the doing. I said the blessing comes in the doing. Amen. Praise God. So when we hear and when we do, then we're blessed. So it's not enough just to hear the word. We have to do the word. Amen. I was thinking about, and this is not a perfect illustration, but it'll work. I was thinking about when we bought this building many years ago. We've been in this building since 1993. And so in the spring, in the spring of 1992. Now, this is when the church was coming, New Life Church, which we started in 1988. But we were meeting in another location, and I had seen this building. It was built as there's, see these. This is not just for decorations here. These are poles, okay? And it was built. That's one bay. This is another bay. That's another bay. The section over there is another. It was built as a like a strip shopping center with five bays, actually. And it was first occupied by a furniture store, which had been in business for a couple of years and went out of business. Anybody remember that? Not many of you, because that's been a long time ago. But anyway, the building was vacant. I saw that that it was going to be auctioned off. And it's going back to 1991, and it was auctioned off. It was owned by the Small Business Administration. It was auctioned off, and we actually came. Didn't have any money, but just in faith, I thought, you know, something about this building. I believe God wants us to have this building. And so we came. I came, and I think another member of our church, we came to the auction that day. We didn't have any money. We had asked our bank, you know, would you... You know, could we get a loan? We want to go and bid on that building. And they said, no, you've not been in, you know, you've only been around for 3 years and you're not, you know, you're a high risk. We're not going to loan you any money. We came to the auction anyway. I didn't want to say, well, you know, if somebody had come to the auction with the money and we missed them, you know, I didn't want to miss them. And so we came, found out that the building, the mayor of Cumming actually was the high bid at the auction. Found that out later. And so we found out that he had bid, I think, $169,000 for it at the time. And it was owned by the Small Business Administration government. And they were wanting $225,000 or something like that. And so they had not closed the deal. It wasn't an absolute auction. And so they hadn't closed the deal. So months later, found out that I'd kind of let it go and found out that the... Small Business Administration still owned it. But I was listening to, this was in March, I think, of 1992. I was listening to some messages by Kenneth E. Hagin that he had preached at Winter Bible Seminar on possessing the land. And he was using the scripture in the Old Testament where the children of Israel went in to possess the land, actually probably here in Joshua, about possessing the land. And I was listening to that. And as I was listening to it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, that building up on Highway 9, referring to this building, is your building. Go claim it. And so we were getting ready to go out of town. So I came up, the Lord put that in my heart. That was on like a Thursday. And the next week we were going out of town, actually to a minister's conference. And so on Monday, he spoke that to me on Thursday, and I hadn't done anything with that. I hadn't acted on it. I just said, okay, that's nice. You know, that building's yours. Go claim it. And so I thought, well, that's good. So I hadn't heard anything about the building for months. And so on that Monday morning, there was a message on our answering machine from one of our board members at the time. He says, hey, and we hadn't talked about the building in months, few months here. He said, I just found out that building on Highway 9 is still for sale. Well, that was my cue. I thought, I'm not going to mess around with this. So Robin and I and another couple that was in the church at the time, we were going to this meeting. And on our way out of town, we stopped right out here, pulled in. This was not, we didn't own this. We pulled in on this property, stood out there on the sidewalk, joined hands and said, Father, we just thank you for this building. Thank you that you're giving us this building. We claim it in the name of Jesus. To make a long story short, that was in March. To make a long story short, we bought the building in October of that year. God worked supernaturally, and we bought the building. Now you're enjoying having church in here today. Amen. But what if we had never acted? What if I'd never acted on what God spoke to my heart when he said, that building on Highway 9 is yours, go claim it. What if I just said, oh, praise the Lord, that's great, you know. We had to do something. We had to act, amen. James says here, and we didn't read it, but James also says here in chapter 2, he says, faith without works, he means corresponding actions. Another way to say that is corresponding actions. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. We have to have actions that correspond with our faith. Amen? That's doing the Word of God. Amen. One more scripture here. Well, that one more passage we'll look at. In the book of Matthew, we're going to look at chapter 7. But in Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the record, is Matthew's written record of a message that Jesus preached. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody ever heard of that? Sermon on the Mount? All right, it's recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. All right? In his sermon, Jesus talked about a lot of things. He talked about hungering. Among them are these, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He talks about being merciful. He talks about rejoicing when you're persecuted and spoken evil of. He talks about being a light to the world. He talks about being reconciled to people. He said, if you go and offer your gift and you remember that your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled to your brother. He talks about loving your enemies. He said, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who persecute you, right? Remember that? Thank God for those three amens. But amen. He talks about forgiving. He talks about forgiving folks. He talks about giving. He talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. Right? And at the conclusion of this, of his message, he says this. He says this. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, all that he just got through talking about in chapter 5, chapter 6, and up to that point in chapter 7. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Everybody say, and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. There was a great crowd that had gathered around that day. And Jesus knew that out of that crowd, there were going to be people that were going to take what he said, and they were going to do it. They were going to start acting on what he said. And then there were going to be others that were there that were listening and said, oh, wow, isn't this great? I love being in this crowd. And, you know, Jesus' words are so good, and I love the way he speaks. And they were going to walk away that day and not do anything with it, not put it into practice. He says, everyone who hears these, verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See, Jesus knew that the storms of life come to all of us. They do, don't they? There are not a one of us that are immune from the storms of life. The storms of life come to all of us, but one man, representing a group of people, one man heard the word and acted on it. The people that will hear the word of God, and that will purpose, you know, I'm not just going to listen to this. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to act on the word. That man, that group of people, their house will stand. Yeah, the storms will come, but when the storm's over, they'll still be standing. Praising God. Thanking God for bringing them through that storm. Hallelujah. The other person heard the same word, but did not act on it. And his house was swept away. So which man are you going to be? You're going to be the one that does the word, I believe. Amen? As Paul said, I'm convinced of good things concerning you, better things concerning you and me. We're going to be doers, I believe. Amen? So in every situation, ask yourself this question. What does the word say? What does the every situation that you face, what does the word of God say? And do that. Do that. I remember Dad Hagin teaching us and telling us, he would tell us these wonderful stories of he pastored for 12 years before he started, went out into traveling ministry, and it was years later when he started Rhema Bible Training Center. But he said when he was pastoring, he said the church would be, they'd have a mess going on in the church, and the deacons would come to him, and they'd all be all just upset. I don't know, either the finances or you know, people not getting along or whatever, you know, just something. And they'd just be all so just upset. And they'd say, Brother Hagin, what in the world? What are we going to do? And he'd say, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to act like the Bible's so. We're going to act like the Bible's true. And they stopped and they said, you know, well, it is, isn't it? And when they did that, he said, things would just work out. When we act like the word is true. Why? Because it is true. But we have, when we act on it, that's when we release the power of the word. Amen. Amen. That's when we release the power of it. Act when in any situation, what does the word say? When we do that, he says, we'll make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. I know you want to have good success in 2015. Amen. Speak the word of God. Pray the word of God and be a doer of the word. Amen.